Cassieri, as we continue our study in the course on the doctrine of Christ. Last time we were together, we had begun lesson number 16, entitled The Second Coming of Christ. And we have a couple of points that we need to cover to conclude lesson 16. So that's where we want to begin. If you're looking at your course outline, and you should be with me right now, we're under lesson 16, Second Coming of Christ. Point H, we began to look at some of the signs of Christ's coming, and that's what we want to pick up. We see the signs of Christ's coming in Matthew chapter 24, which lists 10 signs. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 right now with me, please. Matthew chapter 24, the context is the tribulation and things leading up to the tribulation, amen. Let's begin reading in verses 5 through 7, and we'll skip down, look at some other verses here. Matthew 24, verses 5 through 7, the Bible tells us, "For many shall come in my name, say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Then look with me in verse number 12. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And then in verses 37 and 38 with me of Matthew 24, it says, "But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark." So there we have in Matthew 24, I want to go over them and list them for you. 10 signs that the Lord mentioned that would be in place at his coming. Number 1, false Christs. Number 2, wars and rumors of wars. Number 3, famines. Number 4, pestilences. Number 5, earthquakes. Number 6, iniquity was to abound. Number 7, love of many waxing cold. Number 8, eating. Number 9, drinking. Number 10, marrying. People going about some ordinary common things that he will be doing at his second coming. Some other signs that will be included is the destruction of Jerusalem. The destruction of Jerusalem. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter number 21 with me, if you would. In Luke 21, we want to look at verses 20 to 24. Luke 21, verses 20 to 24. Word of God says this, And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judah flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of the vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So we see the destruction of Jerusalem is another sign of the second coming. And then also, the completion of the church. Look with me in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 with me. In Romans chapter 11, we want to look at verse 25. In Romans 11, verse 25, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that the blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And what he was talking about is there are some, though, that will think that, God is through with Israel right now, through dealing with Israel. But he isn't. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of that. He's put them on a shelf. He stopped dealing with them just for a little bit, amen. But he'll continue to deal with them, amen, after the church is complete, after the church is first taken out. And, of course, the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and that'll be at the end of the tribulation. And then also, we see another sign of his second coming would be the gospel is preached everywhere. The gospel of the kingdom, of course. Not the gospel of the grace of God, but the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 24 with me. Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. And then, of course, another sign would be of the Lord's second coming is the coming of the Antichrist. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 with me, please. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 in verses 3 to 8. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Of course, the son of perdition, the man to be revealed, that man of sin is the Antichrist. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked, it's the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So those are some other signs, again, of the Lord's second coming. The destruction of Jerusalem. The completion of the church. The gospel, the kingdom will be preached everywhere. And the coming of the Antichrist. So now we want to conclude our lesson number 16 on the second coming, amen. On the second coming of Christ. Be not a scoffer, amen, like those in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, for his coming is sure and certain. Turn to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 with me. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter tells us this in verse 3, of 2 Peter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So those are scoffers, amen, that say, well, people have been saying the Lord's coming back since time began. Where is he? And they scoff at it, and they make fun. He's not coming back. Is it right to sell everything and sit on a hilltop waiting for him? Definitely not. Of course not. We ought to plan and work, my dear friend, as if he were not coming for another century, but live holy and pure life as if he were to return today. Amen? Look with me in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians with me. And in 1 Thessalonians, look at in chapter 3. Of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 3, in verses 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our fathers, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen. So we should be working, amen, and serving him, amen, as if he wasn't coming for another century, but live holy and pure as if the Lord was to return today. The doctrine, this doctrine of the second coming, must, as believers, affect our lives. What should it cause us to do? What should be the result of this doctrine? It ought to keep us busy serving the Lord and watching for his return. Well, that concludes lesson number 16. And now, believe it or not, we're going to come to our final lesson here on the doctrine, on the course on the doctrine of Christ. Lesson number 17, the results of his return. And we'll look at, under the results of his return, we'll have a brief introduction. And then point B, we'll look at with the result of his return with regard to God. Point C, we'll look at the result of his return with regard to the church. Point D, with regard to Israel. Point E, we'll look at the result of his return with regard to the nations and unregenerate individuals. And then point F, we'll look at the results of his return with regard to society as a whole. And then point G, with regard to the Antichrist and the devil. And point H, with regard to the physical universe. And then finally, point I, we'll conclude lesson 17 in our study on the doctrine of Christ. So let's begin lesson 17, which is entitled The Results of His Return. Now, the second coming of Christ is said to be mentioned 318 times in the 260 chapters of the New Testament. It occupies one in every 25 verses of the New Testament. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, we learn that we are to comfort one another with the fact of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of the world for four millenniums was the coming of the promised Messiah. The hope of the New Testament is the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the last prayer of the Bible in Revelation 22, verse 20, is, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." This doctrine draws the wrath of Satan, for he hates this final glorious event. The worldly church and carnal Christians also hate this purifying doctrine. The fact of his return leads us to live a life of watchfulness, fidelity, wisdom, activity, simplicity, self-restraint, prayer, and abiding in Christ. Special blessings are promised to those who watch faithfully, according to Luke chapter 12, verse 37. And then Paul the Apostle tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, a crown of righteousness will be given to those saints who love his appearing. Amen. Now let's move on to point B, the result of his return with regard to God. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40 with me. In Isaiah chapter 40, look with me in verse number 5. We read, "In the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Amen. When Christ returns, the Bible tells us, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Everyone shall see it. Amen. Point C now, the results of his return with regard to the church. At the coming of Jesus, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians with me. In 1 Thessalonians, we want to look at chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we read with me. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which were asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And of course, what we have here is the rapture of the church. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now listen to this, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. In other words, those who have died, physically died, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, who are saved, when he comes at the rapture, will come up out of the grave first. Amen. And then in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so ever shall we ever be with the Lord. In other words, the order of the rapture will be those that died in Christ will come up first, and those which are alive at his second coming, haven't seen physical death, will be taken right up after those that have died in Christ, and their mortal bodies will be changed into immortal bodies. At the coming of Christ, the bodies, amen, we're looking at the result of his return with regard to the church. We see at the coming of Jesus Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then at the coming of Christ, the bodies of believers will be changed to be like his. Look first of all with me in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, in verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So when he comes for us, he's going to change our vile bodies. That's what our body is, our wicked flesh. He'll change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Also look with me in 1 John, the first epistle of John, in chapter number 3. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, we're told by the word of God, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, John says, you can know this, that when he shall appear, that's when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, amen. We're going to be like him, amen, the Bible tells us, when he comes. And then 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 51 to 53, we read, Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So we see, as we're looking at the results of his return with regard to the church, at the coming of Christ, the bodies of believers will be changed to be like his. Thirdly, at his coming, the living believers and resurrected believers meet him together in the air, according we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, and continue to be with the Lord forever. Amen. And then another thing is at the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of believers will follow immediately this. Amen. Look with me in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy with me, chapter 4 and verse 8. We read, Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Then in 1 Peter, with me, 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse number 4. 1 Peter 5, verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So we see the bema, or judgment seat of Christ, of believers will follow immediately, amen, at his return, at the rapture. And then, finally, as we look at the result of the second coming in regards with the church, we see at the revelation, the church will live and reign with Christ. Look with me in Revelations chapter 20 and verse number 4. Revelations 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded of the witness of Jesus for the word of God, in which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So again, here we are in our final lesson on our study on the doctrine of Christ, lesson 17, the results of his return. And we looked at some results with regard to the church. And let me just go over those quickly to you. Number one, we saw at the coming of Jesus Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Number two, at the coming of Christ, the bodies of believers will be changed to be like his. Number three, at his coming, the living believers and resurrected believers meet him together and continue to be with the Lord forever. That was number three. Number four, at the judgment or bema seat of Christ, that will follow immediately at his at the rapture of the church, the second coming. And then number five, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the revelation, the church will live and reign with Christ. Now, we want to look at the results of the of his return with regard to Israel. With regard to Israel. Well, number one, the coming of Christ will be preceded by the regathering of Israel. Look with me, if you would, in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. In the prophet Isaiah chapter 11 with me. In verse 11 and 12. Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. We read, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Now turn with me also to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36 with me. In Ezekiel chapter 36, we want to look at verse 24. Ezekiel 36, 24. "For I will take you," this is the Lord speaking to Israel, "for I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land." The Lord says to Israel, "For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land." And of course, a lot of this took place at the regathering of Israel, amen, or has been taking place since 1948 up until the present, amen. But we see just before the Lord's second coming will be preceded by another regathering of Israel. Now, immediately after the rapture, there will be even a greater regathering. Amen. At his second coming, the nation of Israel, all 12 tribes, will be reunited. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, in verses 19 through 24. We read in the Word of God, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, in the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And of course, that'll be the Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. We remember that under Solomon's son Rehoboam, that the nation of Israel was divided into the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom that had Samaria as their capital. And, of course, the southern kingdom made up of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, which had their capital of Jerusalem. But they're going to be reunited. There's no longer going to be two kingdoms, but one. Verse 23, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. So we see at the second coming, the nation of Israel, all 12 tribes, will be reunited. And then also, as we look at the results of Christ's coming, second coming, with regard to Israel, Jesus Christ, David's son, will reign as king as prophesied. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah with me, chapter number 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we want to look at verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. The word of God says this, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." See that? "Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." And of course, in the Word of God, the King James Bible, the word branch, the B is capitalized, referring to Jesus. "And I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." That's a reference to Jesus Christ. "In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." So we see here, as we look at the result of Christ's second coming, amen, with regard to Israel, Jesus Christ, David's son, will reign as king as prophesied, amen. Now also we'll see that Israel will doubtlessly be judged and cleansed at this time. Let's go to Romans first. Romans chapter 11 with me. The book of Romans in chapter 11. In verse number 26. At his coming, with regard to Israel, Israel will doubtlessly be judged and cleansed at this time. Romans 11, verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And of course, Paul is writing in this great chapter 11 about how, hey, God's not through with Israel. He's just put them up on a shelf, stopped dealing with them temporarily until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Amen. Now, let's look at also in Ezekiel, going back to Ezekiel chapter 37 with me. We're looking at lesson 17, some results of his return, and we're looking at the results of his return with regard to Israel, and we're looking here at verses that show that Israel will doubtlessly be judged and cleansed at his return. Ezekiel chapter 37 with me in verse number 23. "Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God." Then also with me in Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to see then at his return, amen, a result of his return with regards to Israel, that Israel will be judged and cleansed. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36 and verses 25 and 29. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. This is the Lord talking to Israel. And ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Listen to verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land, and I gave it, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. So what a wonderful truth here, that at his return, at the Lord's return, and with regard to Israel, that Israel's going to be judged and cleansed. They're going to be given a new heart, a clean heart, a new spirit. They're going to have, God is going to be their God, amen. What a blessing that will be. Now, again, Israel, again, we're looking at lesson 17, entitled The Results of Christ's Return, amen, the results of his return with regard to Israel right now. Well, Israel and Palestine shall prosper tremendously at this time. And let's look at some passages that speak about this, that prophesy about this in the prophets. First, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31, let's look at verse 31. Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and I will and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Again, at his return, the Lord's return, with regard to Israel, we're going to see that Israel and Palestine shall prosper tremendously. Amen. Let's look at Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. In Ezekiel chapter 37, let's look at verses 30, actually we want to go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verses 37 and 38. Ezekiel 36, 37 and 38. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as a holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. Then also, we want to look at Ezekiel again, chapter 36, and begin reading in verse number 33. We read, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquity. I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. In the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left around about you shall know that I, the Lord, builded the ruined places and plant that was desolate. And I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Amen. Now look with me also in Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah with me. Zechariah chapter number 8. In verse 23. Zechariah 8:23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all language of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So those other nations will want to go with Israel. Amen. Israel's going to prosper. Palestine's going to prosper when the Lord returns. Then finally in Isaiah chapter 49 with me, as we're looking at verses that show at the Lord's return with regard to Israel, that Israel and Palestine are going to prosper tremendously at this time. Amen. Isaiah chapter 49 with me. In Isaiah chapter 49, look with me in verses 22 to 23. Isaiah 49, verses 22 to 23. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be their nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to these with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. And here we see what the Lord is prophesying here in Isaiah is those other nations are going to bow down to Israel. Amen. We see that the kings are going to be nursing fathers to Israel, and the queens, the heathen queens, will Gentile queens will be nursing mothers to Israel. Amen. Now also we'll see at this time Israel will take the message of the kingdom to all nations. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 19. Isaiah says that at this time Israel will take the message of the kingdom to all nations. Isaiah 66, in verse number 19 with me. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal, and Javan, to the islands afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. So we see, as we're looking at here, some results of the Lord's return with regard to Israel. We see that at the time of his return, Israel will take the message of the kingdom to all nations. Many of the promises that Israel expected to be fulfilled at the first coming of Christ will actually be fulfilled when the Savior returns the second time. Now again, here we are in lesson 17, our final lesson in our course on the doctrine of Christ, and we're looking at the results of his return. We want to look at the results of his return with regard to the nations, with regard to the nations and unregenerate individuals. Well, the coming, number one, the coming is a happy day for the church in Israel, but a sad day for the rest. Amen. Let's look first of all in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 with me. In Matthew chapter 24, we want to look at verse number 30. Matthew 24, 30. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 30. We read this. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power in great glory. Amen. It's going to be a great day for the church in Israel, but it's going to be a sad day for the rest of those who haven't received Jesus Christ. Amen. Who have scorned him. Amen. It'll be an unhappy day for the unconverted, will it not? Look with me in Revelations chapter 1. In Revelations chapter number 1 with me, please. In verse number 7, we read this. Revelations 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. It's going to be an unhappy day, amen, for the unconverted, we see. They're going to wail, amen. They're going to suffer, and they're going to know, they realize what's going to happen. Then also we see that there'll be the judgment of the nations. will follow the revelation of Christ when he comes, amen, with us, with the church, to put down the devil, and the devil will be bound for 1,000 years and so forth and so on. Then we're going to see the judgments of the nations. I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we see the this talked about, the judgment of the nations. Judgments of the nations in Matthew chapter 25. And it goes, begins in verse 31 down to the end of the chapter. So let's read down and then we'll talk about this a little bit. Amen. We read in Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So there's going to be a division. All the nations are going to come to him, and there'll be a division. Amen. Sheep nation, goat nations. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was a-hungered, and you gave me meat, I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And of course, this judgment of the nation is going to be based upon, the judgment's going to be based upon this, how the nations treated the Jews during the tribulation. Now, here we see it's very works-oriented, is it not? The Lord's talking about, if nations took care of the Jews, amen, fed them, clothed them, saw they were hungry and fed them, thirsty and gave them drink, or naked, gave them clothes, or came and ministered to them in prison, then these nations, amen, we'll see later on, are going to be able to enter into the millennial kingdom. Now, the goat nations, on the other hand, we've talked about, they'll be talked about here now. Verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, that's the goat nations, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a-hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, whence are we there and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So here we see the goat nations are those nations that didn't take care of the Jews. Either they persecuted them or they were neutral. If you were neutral and didn't help them out at all, again, you became a goat nation. And you weren't allowed to go or enter into the millennial kingdom. What would happen is those goat nations are going to go into, as it says, everlasting punishment. But the righteous ones, amen, the sheep nations who took care of the Jews during the tribulation, ministered to them, provided for them, will be able to enter in into life eternal or into the millennial kingdom. Amen. Well, we still have some things to discuss here in our last lesson here, lesson 17. On the results of his return. So we're going to stop here on tape 10, side 1, and when we pick up on the other side of tape 10 on side 2, we'll continue and conclude our last lesson here on regarding lesson 17 on his return in our study in the doctrine of Christ.